Hey, I'm Dustin.
And I'm Steve. Welcome back, listeners, to the finest phototainment in the world. That's right, you're listening to another episode of the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast, an irreverent look at wedding photography. This podcast, like aspirin, will help you recover from your wedding hangover. Dustin, we got an awesome episode coming today. We recorded with Tom Stewart and Greg Campbell from the Snappening Podcast. Tom's from Australia, Greg's from New Zealand. Scheduling this was a bit difficult compared to when we normally have guests on, but I am incredibly excited.
Got to talk to the past or the future? We'll just have to find out.
We were talking to the future.
Oh, damn. So much for the surprise there, Steven.
Sorry about that, buddy. Here, let's roll it back through time, and now you can
past future. Steve, are we going to be talking to the past or the future? I'm not really sure.
Who knows, Dustin? Certainly not I. Thank you so much for tuning in this week to the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast. We have with us Greg Campbell and Tom Stewart from the Snappening Podcast, and we are so incredibly excited to have them on. I've spoken several times before in the past about how I'm a huge fan of their show, so I'm kind of geeking out over here, even though I'm trying to contain it a little bit. But Greg, do you want to say hi so people can get to know your voice a little bit?
Sure. Hello. Yeah. So I'm Greg. I'm in New Zealand right now. Thanks for having us.
And Tom, do you want to say hi and tell everybody where you're from too?
I'd love to. Hey guys. Hey Dustin. Hey Steve. Very honored that you guys are talking with us today. Thanks for taking time. I'm just near Sydney in Australia.
And what is it? Barrel or Bayroll? Or?
I'm going to let you keep going.
Bagel? Is it bagel?
A bagel. Oh, I wish.
It's close to bagel.
Are you ready?
I've heard you say it on your podcast several times, but I can't quite remember it.
It's barrel.
Okay.
Barrel.
Barrel.
Like, kind of like bowel movement, but kind of rolled together.
Just all rolls out.
Well, you could have also said like barrel, as in B-E-R-R-E-L, but let's go with bowel movement.
So can I ask a serious question here, guys? For those listeners out there who are ignorant and live in America, which is most of our demo, are you in Wednesday or where are you in the time spectrum? Because I think we're talking to you in the future right now.
Yeah. Are you Tuesday?
We're in Tuesday.
Man, you should say Wednesday. It's incredible.
Yeah, Wednesday's the bomb.
Can't wait to get to Wednesday.
I held the cup for being first. I'm in the first time zone.
First to Wednesday.
Woo!
So you guys don't have Halloween over there, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, it's
happening right now.
It's like a pathetic, like, Southern Hemisphere attempt at copying your cultural like ideas. It's crap here.
Like a stepchild of Halloween?
Like an unwanted, illegitimate, like, bastard. If you walk down the street tonight, you'll see two impoverished children, like, with spider web draped around their heads. And then four out of five houses they knock on, some drunk dude will be like, "Get off my lawn." And then the last house will give them, like, a minty or something.
So it sounds like that maybe the tradition wasn't completely passed down, that, you know, people are supposed to give candy.
No, there was lost in translation a little bit. There might be like a granola bar or something like that handed out.
Crackers.
A strawberry.
Very health conscious over there. We give fruit out. Yeah.
But you guys it's a big deal, right? Halloween in North America. Like, I just don't really.
It's a huge deal. My wife just got back from a wedding vendor Halloween party. And there have been several other Halloween parties going on throughout the week. There's a town inside of Indianapolis called Irvington that has like a huge Halloween festival every year that goes for an entire week, and they do like parades and all other sorts of cool stuff. And I was there like a week ago or 2 weeks ago to shoot a wedding, and they were doing like haunted tours at night and stuff. Sick. People go crazy for Halloween here in America.
Like a week for us to let our freak flag fly.
That actually sounds really fun. I mean, it's really nice to see that happening. And all my North American friends right now are, I guess you call it carving pumpkins.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and we don't even have those pumpkins. Like, if you try to carve a pumpkin here, it will not work that well because they're just normal little... Are you the same, Greg? Like, you don't have those big North American pumpkins.
No, you don't do that kind of stuff.
No.
Interesting. So you guys have more like smaller gourds, not like the giant pumpkins.
Exactly. Like butternut squash.
Call them sweet potatoes.
Yep. Try a couple more of those, it'll just collapse. It's vicious.
Making me hungry.
So Dustin and I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about two topics, and then we're going to ask you guys some more questions about your businesses and what you guys do and how you run things over there. The first thing we wanted to talk about was, what are you guys' thoughts about the new Photoshop that's coming out for the iPad? Do either of you use an iPad?
Nope.
This is going to be a very short response from both of us.
Perfect.
I didn't know there was Photoshop on the iPad.
Nice.
Two, I didn't know there was a new Photoshop for the iPad.
Even better.
It was just, was that that was like literally released today, right?
Yeah, a few hours ago. Mm. That's how current we are here at the Wedding Photo Hangover podcast.
And here's me in the future on Wednesday.
No idea what's going on.
Completely in the dark.
All right, well.
What do you think, Tom?
I don't even have an iPad. Oh, actually, that's a lie. I have an iPad 2, like the second generation, so it doesn't have a Retina screen. It's like probably 10 years old. It's very early. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea, but it doesn't affect... I don't know, like, I actually don't think I'd use it. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe just to cull, but I don't know about you, Greg, but I don't know. For me, it's a total non-event.
But we're talking Photoshop, not Lightroom.
Either. Like, how would that impact your workflow? Or how could it?
I think, is it possible... yeah, look, I don't own an iPad, so it's hard for me.
we're really the stereotype of our country is just really shining through.
Yeah, I'm not helping.
I feel like the iPad.
I've got two laptops. Does that help?
There you go.
I feel like you guys say that you're technologically inept, but you guys have both switched over to shooting with Sony cameras entirely, right? So you guys are living in a future that I only dream of, because I'm still on Canon.
Oh.
Hey man, make it happen.
Sony's, it's good. The future is good.
Don't let us take over your podcast as well with our Sony preaching. We'll do it.
We feel guilty about how much we talk about Sony, but it's funny because in the last episode we did, I mean, Tom, I could just go on and Tom, he sort of like stops me, but just like on our Facebook group, all these people are now telling us they want to hear more about Sony stuff. Can I just say one thing about the iPad? Someone told me that you can cull a wedding on the iPad, but you can link it to your gallery. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing?
That is a thing.
I guess that's pretty cool. You can sit on the couch and just flick through and do one stars or whatever, and it links. I've never tried it, obviously, because I haven't got an iPad, but that could be handy.
I think that'd be useful, yeah.
I feel like the iPad's one of those things that Apple puts out for me personally that I'm always like, God, that looks so sexy and sleek. Mm. And then I always get one, never use it. Mm. I'm like, well, there went $700.
Dustin, you have a history of paying money for things you're never going to use.
Yeah, that's more of just a Dustin thing in general, I think.
I kind of picture a use for it to be if you put your images onto your main drive, whatever drive you use, working drive, and then you can somehow sync or get your smart previews to transfer or sync across to your iPad. I guess that means you could, for example, you could be sitting on the couch watching a movie and you could be culling on your iPad instead of having to use a laptop or sitting at your desk. So I guess that would be an appealing thing, but I'm sure this is something that has been an option for the last who knows how long. Like, that's how behind we are on this. I don't know. Is that how you guys would use it?
So you guys talked a lot in your last episode about how you call. You guys, I think Tom, are you the one who uses a grid, and Greg, you're the one who just clicks through one at a time?
That's right.
So like for me, I'm typically like I switch back and forth between like a grid depending on what I'm picking from and going through one at a time depending on like if I need to see things bigger or whatever. So I'm like constantly going back and forth. And for me, it's just so easy to use the arrow keys. And then I don't use one star. I use the flag. So P and U, pick and unpick. I know. Wrong in so many ways. And I just think to myself, like, if I'm calling on a touch screen, how is it going to make it easier than using the arrow, like just the arrow keys and, you know, two letters?
The new iPad actually has a keyboard.
What? Like a pop-up keyboard?
Yeah. No, it has like kind of like this Microsoft Surface, like the whole like overlay, you know, like the screen protector.
What do you mean?
With the keyboard built in.
Wait, was this just announced like just now? Have I just missed an announcement?
Yeah, it just came this morning. You were sleeping, Gregory.
God.
Get on it, mate.
I just realized I was going to get up early and watch it this morning. Have I missed a keynote?
Greg is gutted, by the way. Right now, Greg is absolutely gutted because he never misses Apple events.
I completely forgot.
It was in Brooklyn, Greg.
In Brooklyn. All right. I'm just, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm looking at Apple stuff for a second.
I have another comment. So the iPad, the Photoshop and Lightroom on the iPad to me is a little bit like the whole Loop Deck thing. I'm assuming you guys are quite familiar with the Loop Deck and these types of editing consoles or whatever. Do you guys use Loop Decks?
No.
It's been one of those things that I tell my wife if she really wanted something to get me for Christmas, it would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Every year for Christmas, I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. I know the pain, my friend. Yeah. But it's like, I sometimes wonder if these sort of things actually increase workflow or if they are just things that are cool and then you're like, you know what? The keyboard's really good, you know?
Yeah. I don't know that guy who invented arrow keys, but man, he was onto something with those.
Jimmy Arrow.
Think about the royalties he's getting.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys use iPads for editing and culling?
Use it to watch Netflix when I'm on a plane.
That's what I do too.
That's like the perfect thing to use them for.
That is the ultimate. It's the best thing for an iPad, yeah. Yeah, they're just not quite like, and that's why I haven't ever invested in one because a laptop's great because when you're in bed, you've got the keyboard like flat on your stomach and the screen's vertical. It just works perfectly. If that was an iPad, I'd have to be holding it up right and then trying to like swipe. And then for professional use, you know, a desktop or a laptop is just so much better. It's just not quite there. But I'm looking at this one now with the built-in. Is it a built-in keyboard or is it one of these ones where it magnetizes on the back?
I don't think it's built in. I think it magnetizes. Yeah, magnetizes. But what the one cool feature they added, which has no bearing on us, is I think it's more designed towards illustrators, is the pen that they have now magnetizes to the side. And because the batteries run around the edge of the iPad, it actually charges using kinetic energy, charges the pen while it's stuck to it.
So you guys should have known about that because you're in the future. So that just sounds like some real futuristic sci-fi stuff. Here in America, we can't grasp that.
Man, I am embarrassed because I honestly get up and watch. And for us, I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch these keynotes. And I do it. And I knew there was one on this morning and I just completely forgot.
We just get into our private jet funded by our sponsors. And then we go to the future. We watch these. We go back in time so that we can sound educated enough to talk to amazing people like you. So we seem
obviously,
sort of smart.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
It's working.
Yeah.
What is the capital city of Australia?
That is a great question.
I went to art school.
No. I know this one, and I'm definitely not Googling it right now.
Isn't it Sydney?
It's not Sydney. It can't be Sydney. That'd be too easy.
Look, we'll come back to that.
I want to say Cam something.
We'll take that.
And they totally didn't edit out all that.
Got it. I knew the whole time, didn't Google this. It's Canberra. Got it. Done.
Yes.
Ah, nice.
Isn't it just to the west of Reed?
Have you Googled it now too, Dustin?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. Yes.
I'm just trying to remember my geography. And then
isn't Google Maps incredible?
It's near the Australian National University, right?
It really is. Okay. You're absolutely right. Your geographical knowledge blows my mind, my friend.
That's what I'm here for.
So the other thing we wanted to float past you guys topic wise, you guys both used Yongnuo flashes last year and a half ago, sometime around then, right? I remember you guys talking about it.
I think Tom said
you kind of tried it out, but Greg was using them for a while.
I was deep
in the Yongnuo hole.
Deep in the Yongnuo. Yeah, you guys talk. I want to show you something.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Show and tell time.
So yeah, Greg, I'm pretty sure I know what he's getting. He's going to come out with like 50 Yongnuo flashes because Greg has a problem getting rid of old gear. He can't.
Well, how are you going to get rid of them? They only cost stuff. Like $60 a pop. Yeah. So
you just got to put them in the bin, basically. Oh, no. Oh, what did I tell you? Greg, what is this?
So did you just use them until they broke, which didn't take very long, I assume. And then
like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. I just bought one every week. So for people that can't see, that's 8 Yongnuu Flash boxes.
I'm just I'm imagining,
I have nine flashes.
Imagining that bridal consult, Greg, where the bride's like, I just don't understand. Your prices are so high. And you're like, well, you have to understand. I have to buy a new speed light.
It's a new flash.
Yeah, I have to buy a new flash for every single bride.
Every hour. It's a 9-hour wedding. That's 9 flashes.
Then you tell the bride, you get the flash at the end of the day.
Yeah, you can keep the flash. I make a nice pendant of flashes. Nice
pendant. Very flashy jewelry you got on there.
Yeah, it's very flashy.
Well, they're all Canon mount, Greg. They're all for your Canon.
Yeah, they're terrible. Don't are we? No, I need to understand. Are you in favor of Yongnuu or against?
Because so we're sponsored by Yongnuu.
These things are great flashes.
Wow, these are incredibly good. One use flashes. Disposable flashes.
I have 3 of the Yongnuu flashes that are working, and then 2 that I've broken by. Putting them in my bag, I guess. I don't know.
By touching them lightly. Yeah.
But I've actually dealt with, there's like a dealer here in the US who you can buy like new parts from. And I've actually bought like parts from him and fixed some of the Yongnuu flashes. Because like when they're working, they look almost indecipherable from like a Canon flash to me. And so it's like we only use them when Jen and I, my wife, we both shoot. And sometimes we're both shooting in different places at the same time. And so it's like one of us needs flashes, and we didn't want to invest in a bunch of other Canon flashes, so we just bought Yongnuu ones. But the topic I wanted to bring up is Yongnuo. It was released today on Petapixel, broke the news.
Yeah,
they're developing a mirrorless camera, and it looks like it's going to be like an Android based touch screen on the back, and they're doing like a voting contest sort of thing right now. They're to name it. It's either going to be called the 4G camera or the smart camera, and they haven't decided on which yet.
How did we not know about this?
Hey, dude, I have already voted. I know all about this. I already put in a suggestion for a name.
Oh, wait. So, yeah, that was the other thing I was going to get to, is they also said you could throw in suggestions if you didn't like the suggestions that they had of 4G and smart camera.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, man, I saw that. I reckon that's such a cool thing. So I must like the Yongnuu page because it came up on my newsfeed on Facebook. And okay, so I didn't like either of the names that much. I mean, 4G camera, smart camera, they're a little bit too, I don't know, too easy, too bland.
I can see your name, Greg. I can see it.
Hey, can you see a couple
that's
of people
a crap
have liked?
Name.
They've liked my one.
What name?
8 people, mate.
8. It was only 2 this morning.
Shocking.
Can you tell them what it is, Tom? Because I can't find it.
Okay, you guys ready to have your minds blown?
My mind is waiting here, ready to explode.
Greg's name for this new camera is the YN1 smart camera.
Because of the way they name their flashes and everything.
I was waiting for the snapping camera.
No, actually, I saw someone else had called it that. And I say, hey, I like the sound of that. But YN1, it means it's like Yongnuu 1, but who cares? That means there's room for the Yongnuu 2. I thought it was a sensible name. I could have gone silly with it, but I thought it was sensible.
I've just submitted my name.
Yeah, Tom, you better do a silly one. What is it?
Oh, I just said, just call it James.
Just call it James. Follow the sort of the Google naming where it's just like Kit Kat or...
Yeah, Kit Kat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, but do you see what it looks like? It looks kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what Hasselblad tried to do with their phone.
It reminded me, as you were talking about it, not so much when I see it, but you know, did you guys see the Zeiss mirrorless that they're making?
Mm.
I've heard about it. I have not seen it.
I recommend you have a look at that. That thing looks super bizarre, but it looks really cool. And I like that camera. I like that sort of not major manufacturers are doing stuff like this. Like it keeps the fire going, you know, and pushes boundaries, and then main manufacturers are always like they can't sit back and just not do anything. They have to think forward.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like the transition from like the BlackBerry sort of like smartphones, like what we have now, like Android and iPhone, where we've kind of, as we go from DSLRs to mirrorless, we're entering into this new territory. And a lot of companies who didn't make cameras in the past are looking at this and they're like, there's actually a way for us to break into this business if we want to get in. Whereas in the past, it's like, how are we going to compete with Canon and Nikon? Like, what's even the point?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys use Yongnuo flashes?
I do.
You do?
Okay. I also have Yongnuo. Is it Yongnuo or Yongnuo?
I don't know.
Whatever you like.
Yeah.
Dealer's choice.
I mean, I don't know how to pronounce things that are technically
Yongnuo.
I don't know a lot about the Asian languages, so I'm not really certain. But
they haven't done themselves any favors by naming the. Yongnuo. Well, I mean, I guess that the target market is not illiterate white people. It's probably the rest of the world. Yongnuo.
Tom, I saw that you were saying somewhere recently that you weren't a big fan of Godox anymore.
I've developed a bitter hatred for Godox.
Completely off Godox.
they're dead to me.
Why is that? Because I just bought one of those.
Dustin, you got to start listening to the Snappening podcast, then you know these things. Tom's out there doing the research.
I had Yongnuo, and I've had Canon as well, but I was like you, I thought if I get Yongnuo, I can buy more of them for cheaper. But they just were unreliable in the end. And but I moved to Godox, and the thing I liked was the Godox have the lithium ion battery rather than the double A's.
Yeah.
And I've been really happy with the Godox, like very, very happy. I got two of the larger models. I don't remember what they're called.
Yeah, I bought
right
the
now.
One that has like the wireless trigger built into it. The newest one is.
The 8 something? I don't know. Anyway, and I got the little tiny three one, Tom, which is what you were saying wasn't. Did you say, Tom, that you didn't think that was strong enough for dance floor shots? Did you make that comment?
Yeah, the little guy. Yeah, but the one I had was not the Lion one. It was the double A one. So is there? I think there's a lithium ion one of that. Hey,
yeah, that's the lithium ion one is the one that has like great reviews.
I got the what I did basically is had the double A ones. I had that little guy, the 350, I think it is, and I had a bigger one, which is a 685 maybe. And I had the AA versions of both, and I used them for a few weddings, and they were terrible. And so then I proceeded to then basically assume that all Godox flashes were terrible, and I proceeded to talk all about that, which maybe was a little early of me to say that, because heaps of people have been coming back and being like the lithium ion ones are awesome.
Yeah.
And one guy reckons he doesn't have to recharge it. It takes 4 weddings of use before he has to recharge. That's amazing.
Well, that's interesting, because I used mine for a really big wedding on Sunday, and then I went to charge it, and it's got it shows you how many bars when you're charging, and it just needed one more bar to be full. So it had used one of 4 or 5.
Maybe I should order one.
But Tom, and you two, this is the V350, which is the little one with lithium ion. I'm thinking of just selling these big guys and getting only these little ones.
Interesting.
Because it's great, and it's so much lighter, and One thing is, like, this takes a different lithium ion battery to the big one takes a different one to the little one, which is a bit annoying when you're charging. So I thought maybe if I just have all little. So yeah, I've been really happy with them, Tom.
So what you're saying
is the V? No.
Yeah, the V350.
Greg, what you're saying is you prefer little ones to big ones.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Making sure we get that on the podcast here.
Now, if you ask my wife,
it's not the size that counts.
He likes little ones that last for a long time.
I'm trying to think of a rebuttal. I'm coming up with nothing.
Okay.
I can see the vibe of this podcast. I really can. I
just
like
feels better in the hand, you know?
The little one does, or the big one?
Little. How can I win? I can't win in this.
Greg's cornered.
Part of the reason I reached out to you guys is I feel like you guys have a very similar vibe to ours, where you kind of give each other a hard time and talk about stuff and make jokes. And I feel like that's missing a lot in the photography podcasting world, like having a sense of humor and like being able to poke fun of like the things that are coming out. I feel like everybody's all about that education, and like, we got to teach X amount of points today. And I would rather get, you know, like 20 laughs from a listener than really, really leave them thinking like, I came away from this one and I learned so much.
So I agree with you. And one of the things, I was really hesitant at the start to do a podcast. Greg had to really work on me for a while, just because I thought I would have no time. And I've actually found it really rewarding. But one of the things that I thought of from the start was that we're all, most wedding photographers of our newer, I would say, of our age group and our style, it's you know, things are different to how they were, I don't know, 20 years ago, but we're mostly just working for ourselves. So when we go to work, we're by ourselves, and when we come home and we edit, we're by ourselves, and it can get a bit lonely. Mm-hmm. And like, often we rely on these online communities to bounce ideas off each other and to feel like we are in a community. And so, yeah, things that I happen to me at weddings that I'm like, oh man, that was so shitty, and I wish I could vent to someone. Turns out there's like a bunch of other photographers who are like, that happened to me. And, you know, it makes me feel better that someone else has been through that. And I really enjoyed them venting about that, because I was like, yeah, man, that sucks. So yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of photographers, you know, some prefer small things in their hands and some prefer a more heavy,
more girthy,
a good girth, weighted. I mean, it's whatever you want to put on your hot shoe, really, at the end of the day.
Jeez, Dustin. Jeez.
Hey, can I ask you two American guys a question? So what are you... Americans, what are you actually shooting with? What bodies and what lenses?
Shooting with this body, as you see it right here.
Imagine you get turned down quite a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so photo-wise, we shoot all Nikon currently. We're in the market to transition to Sony is what we're kind of leaning towards right now, because we also, like you young chaps, do video as well. And we have three Sony bodies for that. We got three Nikons and three Sonys. And I have a ton of Nikon glass. And so I'm not quite ready to shed all of that until the end of wedding season.
What would be your like two or three go-to lenses, Dustin? Sorry, Steve. Dustin.
Dustin.
That's Dustin.
Dustin's a good-looking one.
Pokemon hat.
Pokemon hat. I shoot on a wedding day primarily. I start the day off with the 50, then I move to the 24 to 70 for the ceremony, and my wife's on the 70 to 200. And then we move to the 85 for portraits, whereas my wife's on the 24 to 70 for portraits. And then wow. I'm back on the 24 to 70 for the entire reception.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And we have all of those lenses for Sony, except for the 85. But we've been doing a lot of photo video tag teaming where we're doing both. And I've got guys there doing video while we do photo.
So sure.
I can't dip into the Sony bag. And just easier too when you're editing, if you're editing all one cohesive Agreed. Color profile.
Totally agree with you.
I mean, Dustin, if I'm shooting video with you and you try to rip the A7 R3 out of my hands to do a photo, I would murder you.
He's very territorial of my equipment.
So Dustin shoots with... No, wait. Do you both shoot with your wives?
Yes.
We shoot with our wives so that our wives don't shoot us.
I was going to say, let's have an honest discussion here about you know, how much of a good thing this is for our relationships. Because, you know, I found shooting with my wife, it took quite a while to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
Am I just alone here?
No, I heard the tone of your voice and I want to dig into that a little bit more. Took you quite a while to get used to it. So you fought a lot at the beginning. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
So Jen started her business without me. And then I like came on. And so like most of my life I've been, I went to school for video production and like I was doing video work. So I knew the basics of shooting and stuff, just not when it was a still photo as opposed to video. So when I came on with her, like she had to kind of, work with me on shooting photo. And we got into a lot of fights when we first started. Mostly based on things like I would be like, you can't shoot from this angle because if you do, when you go to the other shot, like my shot, their eyes won't be pointed towards each other. Because I'm thinking like somebody doing video and I'm like, if I'm cutting between the two shots, like I have to know where their eyes are looking and what side I'm leaving the negative space on and all this other stuff for that sort of thing. And with photography, doesn't really matter so much.
All rules go out the window with photography.
Yeah,
no way.
I'm like, I can't believe you're breaking the 180 rule right now, Jen. And I just throw my camera on the ground and I walk away.
You're dead to me, Jen. Yeah, that's kind of why I asked, because I mean, in my sake, I started my business around 8 years ago, and then Michelle started shooting for me, and then now she's starting to do video. And so she's having a lot more autonomy because she's, I don't know anything about video and I can't even shoot video. So she's sort of crafting this on her own. But yeah, it took us quite a while to reach a place where we were cool waking up next to each other, having breakfast together, and then going to work together, and then coming home. And I don't know, man. Like, it's really quite tough. I really have a lot of respect for people who do it seamlessly with no issues, because, you know, moving from that home relationship to that work relationship, especially in front of clients, can be quite tough.
There is nobody who does it seamlessly with no issues. Let's just be serious about that.
I hope, yeah.
There's actually a husband-wife team. I don't think they shoot anymore, and I'll probably eat my words if I say their names out loud and find out they still do shoot. But they actually offered, I believe it's in Atlanta, a marriage retreat specifically for husband and wife wedding photographer couples.
I would go to that.
Yeah, my wife wanted to go next year, but I think this past year might have been the last year they were doing it. But I told her I don't need to go because I already know what they're going to say, and that is, let your wife quit her day job so that she can just be more and help you with the business.
It would be the perfect retreat if, like, you get there and all the bros go off and, like, drink beer in one side of the retreat, and all the ladies go off and do whatever they want at the other side of the retreat.
Just complain about their husbands.
Basically, that'd be perfect.
Women go and they do knitting and stuff, and, like, we, like, kill animals.
See, I didn't want to be misogynistic.
And we just lost all of our female listeners. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Welcome to Australia.
Well, for what it's worth, Kat and I don't ever work together, ever.
Oh, really? But
she shoots, so she shoots her own weddings and I shoot my own weddings. And then with video, I get a couple of, we call them the kids, a couple of 20-year-olds to come and hold, like, be our camera operators. So we don't really cross paths, which I was staying with you, Tom, about two years ago? And that was when I was like, man, Kat should just be shooting.
Yeah.
And so I trained her up and she did about 10 weddings with me, and then that was it. She was off on her own. And the deal was she was never going to be a second shooter for me because I didn't want that. I didn't want exactly what you guys are talking about. Not because I thought it would ruin us, but just because I love going out and feeling like I'm a lone wolf, like I'm out there. It's me against the world at a wedding. I love that. And being able to come home and share, like, you know, stories and not just be like, you know, you already know everything that's happened.
I just like the visual, Greg, of you showing up to, like, the hotel suite or the bride's house, like, wearing, like, a wolf skin, like, jacket with, like, the hood on, and you're like, I'm here to take on the world.
Oh, what is that saying? I'm here to, kick ass and chew bubble gum. I'm all out of gum.
I've not heard that saying, but I like it.
Man, I love the idea, this is me to a T, is that like in the winter when I haven't been shooting weddings, like my appearance and hygiene just deteriorates so much. And then boom, first wedding, you gotta have a haircut, have a shave, like put on nice clothes for the first time in months. It's great.
But you don't really get that because when it's winter in Australia, don't you usually come to America to chase storms?
Well, yeah, but chasing storms, I mean, that's, you're not dressing for anybody. I mean, it's, if anything, I devolve even more. It's like you live at Walmart, you drink, you know, soft drinks and, I don't know, eat chips and drink a lot of beer. And
aren't the seasons reversed where you guys live? Like, I know back when I was in university, as you guys call it, I was told there was a photographer I was trying to get work for or work with. And he split his time between Chicago and Australia, where he would spend his summers and I think falls or summer and spring in Chicago shooting, and then he would do his winters in Australia shooting.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So you guys are just gearing up for wedding season right now, or?
Yeah, yeah, did right, yeah. Oh, so our summer is just beginning, yeah.
For me, because New Zealand does get cooler in winter than it does here in Oz, but for us here, it doesn't even really stop. Like, generally, if you're a wedding photographer in, say, Sydney, you could probably be shooting one or two weddings every weekend all through winter, which is July. And then right now, it's really ramping up. Like, I had three weddings this past weekend. I think that's pretty normal for a lot of guys. So, yeah, because it doesn't get cold, like a cold winter's day in Sydney could be 15 degrees Celsius, which is...
Google.
Was it like
15?
Hey, Alexa.
Degrees 50? Celsius to Fahrenheit.
I'm guessing 50.
You're 59. So yeah, like it's like not a bad temperature to be shooting a wedding or a wedding.
So what's the hottest?
It gets really hot.
It's bad, man. The hottest I've done was probably 45 Celsius, which is 113.
Jeez.
Yeah. And that's Australia's really
hot. It's brutal. And that's with like and that's, you know how you, I don't know if you guys do this, but like one of the things I try and hammer into my clients from the start when they book me is don't have your ceremony in full sun, because not only are the photos like a bit crap, but you're going to really regret it, especially if you're in a three-piece suit. You're going to be sweating. And so, yeah, this is weddings where it's pretty common that you'll have someone faint at a wedding in summer. Mm. Like last year, I had a few with guests that just passed out in the reception because it was too hot.
What month is this that it gets that hot?
So, it's like January.
Okay.
January is brutal. February as well.
It's almost the reverse. Mm. You guys probably slow down a little around that time simply because of the heat, whereas we slow down because of the cold.
Yeah. Mm. I would like to block off January and not do any. It's that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not like that in New Zealand though. New Zealand's much more mild. It's still the hottest months, but
you do have really hot days there, right? Sometimes
we'll be low 30s, whereas you'll be mid 40s.
Oh, that's terrible. Mm. Yeah, the hottest day that I've ever experienced here was 51.5, which is 124.7.
How are you alive?
You walk along the road and your feet kind of pull up the pavement, like it's sticky. Ugh. And yeah, it's really bad.
Because you guys are doing both photo and video, or well, for Tom, it's your wife and you are splitting kind of between the two.
Mm. That's right.
And how are you guys finding that to work out? Because I know I'm still trying to figure out like the best way to sort of divide and conquer. Because obviously the bigger the piece of the wedding budget pie you can take, the more money you can make. And wedding video seems to just be the easiest next step. Mm. And so that's what we've been doing. But we're still trying to figure out, you know, the easiest way of doing that. Whereas Greg just hires some, you know, some teenagers, their kids, as he calls them.
Some peasants.
Just goes around the street. Hey, you look like you can handle a camera.
Can you hold a camera?
That's my criteria.
Are you breathing?
Are you breathing?
Yeah. So it was interesting. Our initial decision to do video was purely financial. So Michelle shot with me, has been shooting with me every couple of weddings for probably 5 or 6 years. And we were sitting around one night talking about how we can basically make more money. And like, I've had a lot of ideas over the years. Like I was like, Greg and I were going to start doing photo booths as well, offering those. Mm-hmm. And then we realized that it was just too much work while you're trying to shoot a wedding to set up a little photo booth.
Right. So, video is much less work.
The returns are a lot better.
So, well, that's interesting you say that. Yeah. Cause so Michelle was like, well, I'll learn to shoot video. And I was like, okay, let's do that. So she basically taught herself. So she doesn't come from a film background. She doesn't come from a cinema background, no training in cinema. So her films are definitely not they're not cinematic in a way that maybe you might see from Steve, you know, like she doesn't have that cinema training. They're basically like, imagine you were going to shoot a wedding and instead of taking a photo, you'd simply record a short amount of footage and then compile that into a clip. So our idea was never to target a bride or a groom who wanted a full blown video with the highlights plus the speeches plus all this thing and a full reel of the reception or whatever. It was like, our idea was to target couples who had a little bit of money left over and they wanted some type of video but didn't want the big, you know, the full deal with mm-hmm. all the audio.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, we decided not to even record audio. So we don't even offer any audio, which takes a massive, massive difficult aspect away from the whole situation. Yeah. And I said to her from the start, I don't know anything about video. So I don't want to know about it, you know, learn it, figure it out. And she did. And it seems to be going really well. So the labor division is really easy too. Like I just have nothing to do with the video at all because I don't even know how to edit it.
So for you, it is easier than a photo booth.
I sold 45 videos this year, honey. Yeah. Have fun with that. You just walk away.
Get ready.
See ya.
Pretty much. No, it's good.
Yeah, I would love to have that conversation with my wife. Like, by the way, hon, so this year, I think because we're building a house, I'm going to need you to really step up your video game. I know you've never done it, but I think this might be a good, good learning thing for you. Help us bond better. And Tom says it's easier than a photo booth. So
how hard can it be?
Which I know you hate. I know you hate the photo booth, hon. So have you do this.
Hey, man, I think you should have this conversation and then either report back as to how it went or record it and play it back live.
There you go.
That could be a whole podcast.
That's why we need marriage counts.
Dustin's discussions.
So, Tom, you've got to go. Greg.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
No, it's fine. I understand. Yep. Greg, do you want to stick around? And like we usually do like a thing where we answer questions and kind of... there are questions that are maybe a little bit more off the wall and weird sort of thing. Do you want to stick around for that or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't want you to stay if you have stuff to do as well.
No, I'm good. I'll stay.
Hold the torch.
You got me.
So then real quick before Tom goes, I just want to say thank you both so much for coming on. It has been a blast recording with you guys. And it's kind of like a dream come true for me as a huge fan of your guys' podcast. So thank you both so much.
Thanks for sharing some of that sunshine with us.
Thank you so much, guys. It's really kind of you to have us on.
If you guys could just blow some of that warm weather our way, that'd be great too. It's getting cold here. Hey, guys. I just jumped onto Greetable.com to do the nicest thing I've ever done in my entire life for Dustin. That's right. I sent him a unique gifting experience complete with pictures of me and a lovely message that I wrote. Oh my gosh. If you want to give your clients that same good, good feeling that I just gave to Dustin, you got to go to Greetable.com for all of your go-to gifts for your clients, vendors, and referrals. You can personalize your gift with your very own message, like I just did for Dustin, and with photos. They don't have to be of yourself, which is what I did for Dustin. But whether they're of yourself or somebody else, those photos are going to be beautiful, high-quality prints to go along with that beautiful, high-quality gift from Greetable.com. It's a unique experience that's sure to get some love on Instagram. How do I know it's sure to get some love on Instagram? I can tell you how, because Dustin sent me photos after he opened it and asked me if he had to wait for this episode to go live before he could post those photos to his Instagram because he was so excited about it. So here's what you guys got to do. You got to jump on over to Greetable.com. That's Greetable.com. No, there's no E at the end of Greetable. So just Greetable.com. And once you're there, use code HANGOVER20 for 20% off your first order. I know that's mind-blowing. And it's mind-blowing to me because when we first talked to Greetable about this, they said it was only going to be 15%. Then they threw on another 5% off just for us. So use code HANGOVER20 for 20% off your first order from Greetable.com. That's Greetable.com. And there will be links down in the show notes if you guys want to check down there. So Greg, right. Now that we finally got rid of Tom.
Yeah. Got that dead weight.
Just the good stuff now.
Okay.
Greg, am I correct? You guys just had a kid, right?
Yeah. 3 months tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, that is so awesome.
Yeah, little Dallas.
Little Dallas.
So do you have any worries going into this next wedding season now that you guys have a kid?
Not really. The problem for us is with me shooting and Kat shooting, we need a nanny or a babysitter for basically one day a week, one Saturday. Almost all the weekends in summer, but my mum's local, Kat's mum's local, and we've just found a local babysitter, so it's just a little bit of organizing, but it'll be okay. Who has kids out of you two?
Both of us.
We both do.
Together. We have kids together.
You both go, okay, so you know about, you have kids together as well?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing what technology can do these days. You would know all about expressing milk. Is that a thing in America?
Yes.
So the problem Kat has is she'll shoot a wedding for a whole day and she has to actually like take time out every couple of hours to go and express milk. Otherwise, she's in trouble. Like she gets too full of milk.
So you drink it for her.
So.
Oh, wait, you don't shoot together. That's right.
No. She freezes it and then I.
Coffee.
So, that's the only real. Yeah, on the coffee. That's the only real thing that's a major issue at the moment. But she's only 3 months. Every week it gets a little bit easier and it's okay.
So. Dustin and I have both gone through that shooting with our wives.
I'm on my second batch.
Last time I shot with Dustin doing video while he was doing photos, Corinne actually had to take a break to express milk.
Right.
So, Dustin, you're a little bit more recent with this than me because you have a younger child than I do.
By 1 month.
How old is Max? Wait, oh. I'm not talking about you, Charlie.
Yep. Yeah. I always forget about that one.
Yeah, you got two kids. One is much younger than the older one.
Yes.
So how has that impacted like your business over the last year, Dustin? Has it had any impact?
As far as the pumping the milk thing?
Mm-hmm.
It definitely adds like an extra level of stress. When my wife and I are driving to the wedding, we sit down and we talk through the schedule and we figure out strategically like the best times for it. It's kind of a give and take. Because it's really important to her and I guess to us to like make sure, you know, we got that sweet, sweet Jesus juice. And we make it work. And I've never had her, shouldn't say that, we've not had a bride yet that's been like, no, you can't pump, you know, like, gotta come get these family photos.
You know, one of the benefits of this job is when it comes to things regarding pregnancy, our clients, who are generally a bride and a groom, the brides are, they're very forgiving and they understand that kind of stuff. And we've found that, yeah, if you're honest with people, that they will be very accepting of your situation and help you any way they can.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't run in, I mean, last year was a little, or I shouldn't say last year, our first child was a little trickier. Just navigating that. But now that we've gone through it once, the second time around, she's a little bit more fearless at like not being afraid to ask venues for like, hey, do you have a room? We're discovering that a lot of the larger venues actually have hospitality suites or rooms set aside for specifically this purpose, or, you know, just an area it isn't a bathroom or a broom closet or something.
Sure.
We had a situation where Jen talked to a venue once beforehand about making sure there was like a space where she could do that. And when it came time, she like asked the venue coordinator and the venue coordinator was just like, I guess you could do it in the corner of the, like the reception area over there. Mm. And Jen was just like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. I mean, my wife has done it like behind the cake table before and like she's done it all kinds of crazy places because she's, you know, this year she's like, I don't care. It's like, I got to get it done. I want to be somewhere convenient. Whereas before she would go, you know, our first child, she would go out to the car and we have the, you know, adapters in both our cars so she can like plug it in and do that whole bit. And this is, I'm realizing quickly, this conversation is really weird to have with three white males.
Three dudes. Yeah. I think it's good.
Discussing
and all the women out there are just waiting for us to screw up. nice one. No, hey, well, I will tell Kat that she should feel comfortable just to ask venues and to set herself up behind the cake.
And, yeah,
Kat, if you need to, just duck under a table.
That way, if anyone comes up for a piece of cake, just raise your hand. Be like, anyone want some milk with the cake?
Some milk with the cake? Milk and
next
sugar?
Next to the coffee station right there. Just doing her thing.
So when Kat goes out to shoot, does she have a second shooter with her?
No. Neither of us use second shooters.
Oh, so that would make
that would
it a little
it
bit harder.
Because
like when my wife would need to express, I would be there with her and I would just take over.
Right. Yes. So Kat and I have been talking about just getting, you know how I employ kids off the street to do video.
Practically a gang.
We've been thinking about just having one of them come along, just and not really as a second shooter, just as an assistant. And and if Kat needs to duck away, I mean, it's amazing. We could get into a whole second shooter. So you guys, are you always doing a photo and video, or sometimes you're doing primary, secondary,
primary photo
photographer
for us? And I would say maybe 10 to 15 weddings a year or video and photo combo. And we do about 40 total a year of photo.
And when you're not doing video, are you always using a second shooter?
Yeah, I would say 90% of the weddings, my wife shoots alongside of me.
Right.
And the only reason she wouldn't be is if she's got like something with her day job. She's a doctor during the week. And so does continuing ed every few weekends a year.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Nice. Well, that's a big workload for you guys.
For her. For me, it's pretty okay.
And well, she's doing all the editing too, right? So
No. We send that off. Send that off. Don't mess with that.
Dustin just spends his days watching Netflix and
looking busy.
Waiting for his doctor wife to come home.
Yeah, the baby thing is it's all new and exciting, but we're getting through it.
Well, that's awesome. So you're thinking about hiring an assistant to work with Kat?
Yeah.
Is that something where it's going to be like just during the busy season you try that out, or is it going to be like all year round? Sorry to ask a ton of questions that might be kind of personal.
No, these are great.
You can just say no and let's go to the next thing.
No, that's cool. The thing is, well, we've got these two kids that do our video, and if we've not got a video on that day, they are available, and they're both very competent taking photos as well. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy just to get one of them as an assistant, just to help Kat. And if Kat had to sit down and express, I mean, it's this is why I was thinking about second shooters. It's not rocket science to pick up a camera and go and take some shots for 10 minutes at a wedding for one of these assistants. The photos they take, if this camera's all set up, they just have to go push the trigger. They're going to get some nice photos. They might not be the best, but who cares? Like, they do a good job. So she's pretty covered in that way. I Tom and I are both kind of anti second shooters, but I don't want to go down that road because it's a bit of a quagmire.
See, I'm like, Jen and I don't shoot weddings without second shooters anymore. So like, if I'm gone shooting a wedding, she's gone shooting a wedding, and if we have an associate shooting a wedding, it's like we have to find 3 second shooters for that day to work with us.
Wow. And so do you have a network?
We have like a network of people in the area who we've worked with before, who like we trust and we like working with and we go back to. Yeah.
Okay.
Those people are so talented.
Especially the ones who listen to this podcast and also second shoot for us. They're the most talented ones.
I'm picturing, isn't it a thing in the States where if you need like some construction labor, you just go to like Home Depot at 7 o'clock in the morning? Yeah. Is it like that?
Yep.
You go
pretty much. Just go to the local camera shop at 7 o'clock in the morning. Look for that retired guy that's like debating whether he's going to trade in his gear or not. And you're like, hey man, look like you got
$100.
Like you got some good shoes on. Let's go shoot a wedding today.
Now, you joke about that, but one of our second shooters is the rental manager for one of the local camera shops.
Perfect.
Oh, there you go.
I hope he listens.
Yeah. Or so when he shoots with us, he just grabs a camera from the place that wasn't rented out for the day.
Sweet.
How I got my start.
What do you mean?
I used to work for a camera rental place.
Oh, are you being serious?
Yeah, I worked for a camera rental place when I was in college. And so the photographer who hired me to shoot weddings got quite a bargain because I could really do it for inexpensive, and I had access to millions of dollars worth of equipment. So I could get him lenses, I could get me lenses, all for free.
Millions of dollars, millions.
Are you sure it's not billions?
Billions of dollars.
Yeah, I thought so.
It immediately increases by tenfold when I touch it. So.
Oh, I see, right. Just for that second. Yep. And then back, then it's off. And then on,
the Nikon
off.
Glows when I touch it. I'm not quite sure Sony's ready for me yet.
Mm.
What, so?
Yeah, let me know. Cause,
are you shooting with the 7.3? Is that what you're rocking?
Yeah. A couple of 7.3s, yeah. 7.3s, and I got the 35mm 1.4, and the Batis 1.35, and a 16-35 f4.
Yeah, one of my guys that was shooting with me last weekend, he just got, I want to say it's like a 28 Batis.
25, I think.
What are these badass lenses you guys are talking about?
Badass. Zeiss. Zeiss make this range of lenses called BATIS or BATTIS, Batis. Oh, and I heard someone call it Batisse the other
French.
Day. So that got me all confused. Well, where's Zeiss? Is it German? Oh, God.
I thought it was Swiss.
Oh, well, yeah. Swiss, German, French. So, yeah, Batisse. Anyway, they are specifically for Sony mirrorless full frame.
And the minimum focal length, focal distance, I believe is what you how you phrase that, was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, on the 25?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're borderline macro.
Yeah, like he could get so close. We were using it for video on the gimbal, and he could get like freaky close on the dance floor, and it would just be like tack sharp.
You could just see every pore of their face. Every pore.
Yeah, how close are you getting? That's cool. Now, this I have to mention the 40 mil. So there's a 40 mil Batis coming out, I don't know, the next month. Ooh. And they advertise it as a macro. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it should be quite good. You can get right in there into the pores.
You guys were talking about the 40 mil in your last episode, right?
Yeah, Tom's, he's really frothing over it. I will check it out. I'll try it out.
Tom's frothing over it. You're just going to check it out? I love it.
I'm going to wipe Tom's froth off of it, and then I'm going to take a peek at it.
I'll have a look, and then give it back to him again. Froth all over it again.
Frothalate.
So you live in New Zealand, Tom lives in Australia, but based on like your guys' podcast, it sounds like... sounds like you guys actually see each other quite a bit throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe that's just the magic of podcasting that makes it seem like that.
Well, he visited me 3 weeks ago, and I was in Aussie last year this year for a wedding. But we lived in Australia for six or seven months 2 years ago, and we stayed with Tom for a lot of that. So, yeah, and we've sort of stayed in quite close contact for the last few years, yeah. And whenever we go over there, we tend to like go and visit. They've got a new house now, so we have to go and visit it as soon as possible.
Go.
So when you're in Australia, though, you're typically shooting weddings while you're there, right?
Yeah, for the last few years. Because I was kind of moving between New Zealand and Australia, I had like a couple of Facebook ads, and I was getting a few weddings in Aussie. I think I did 10. And but now I don't advertise in Aussie, so no, everything now is in New Zealand. I do get the odd inquiry from Australia, but once people kind of realize the what it takes to get a photographer from New Zealand to Australia,
what does it take?
It's just you got to add a few grand on or a couple of grand for flights and accommodation, and
so it's expensive. I didn't know if it was inexpensive to get from one to the other.
Yeah, it's Well, it's like between $300 and $500 for each way for a flight.
Okay.
But the other thing is, like, you know, I can shoot two weddings in a weekend in New Zealand, but if I go to Aussie, I can only do that one wedding, so I lose a day, and basically,
unless you do two in Australia that weekend,
exactly. But I find that inquiries come in, and they're like really keen. They're, you know, just, we want to book you. You come to Australia, and then you kind of talk it through, and they're like, "Ah, yeah, no, this is a bad idea. We're going to go with a local." And I've seen it heaps of times, so it's all, I don't mind. It's fine.
I think that was the question, Steve, when I was saying that there's a really good one. It was about how these guys travel so much for weddings. Now that we know that one's dead,
yeah. Cross that one off.
I think Tom said he was going to spend like a while in Europe. I think that's why I wrote it down. And he was trying to put together weddings there by running Facebook ads. And
that's
the idea of putting together wedding work by running Facebook ads is just so foreign to me.
Oh, really?
I feel like here in Indiana, if we run Facebook ads, it's like it has a negative impact on our business.
Really?
Yeah, I've tried it. Yeah, I've got family in South Carolina, and so I've tried running numerous Facebook ads trying to promote wedding photography there, because we have inexpensive airlines that fly directly from Indiana to South Carolina that would only cost me like a couple $100 round trip and
cool. And
stay with family for free. And I was like, oh, this would be awesome. Run these Facebook ads. Nothing. I've never gotten a single. And this could be my lack of knowing how the hell to run Facebook ads.
Are you targeting the right people?
Yeah, I'm targeting people in Australia, but I'm trying to get weddings in.
Right.
I think I am targeting people in the South Carolina area there.
Because the big trick is to target engaged women. That's the...
I like to go the other route, Greg. I like to go specifically for the men. I'm after the southern men that make decisions in the wedding planning process. It's a niche community, but I find that the weddings tend to be better.
See, I think I made a mistake because I told Facebook I only wanted to target people who had recently ended a relationship on their Facebook account. So,
yeah, that's why we do more weddings than you, Steve.
Breakup photography. That's a booming business.
Yeah.
Actually, I just saw something about breakup photography. Another photography niche is photography for people that have died and they need a really nice photo on their casket. So You've got to go out with like old people, like a round of golf or something, get a nice photo of them knowing that that's the photo they're going to use. This is true.
We do this on the wedding day.
You're like, now listen, one photo.
Oh, my wife is notorious for this. She's like, she targets the elderly at weddings. And it all started with a wedding 5 years ago where the grandmother passed away the week after the wedding. And they ask, hey, I know you have, you know, a couple weeks to get these wedding photos back, but can we get that photo of grandma for the wedding or for the funeral? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course, obviously. And then I was like, hey, there might be something to this business.
You're like,
and so at every wedding, we try to make beautiful portraits of the grandparents and any other people that are important of elderly age.
Young people, no pictures of them. Forget the kids. No.
And then we don't include those on the couple's USB drive.
The old people pictures?
Put those only on their online gallery.
Put a big watermark.
You put a watermark on it on their online gallery, and the watermark is just a dollar sign over their face.
And maybe a little, a little $6,000 or something at the bottom.
That's right. Their life insurance can cover it.
Inquire. Oh, exactly.
It's just the same price as a nice casket.
Should we be approaching funeral insurance companies?
I like where your head is on this, Greg.
This is it. It's just one photo. How many photos do we have to take at weddings? Thousands.
Yeah, if you could get paid what you get paid for a wedding to photograph people before they die, I think I could be in on that game.
Nice. All right, cool. Okay, we'll just put a pin in that.
Like I'm going to get some hate mail on that one.
That's why I'm staying quiet. I'm just letting you talk about this. Yeah, Dustin, he's go
just
for it,
dig,
bud.
Dig deep. Just dig deeper.
You guys can find Dustin at Dustin_McKibben.
Well, you know what though, you're right, because I shot a wedding for my cousin 5 years ago, and unfortunately his dad passed away about a month ago, so that's my uncle. The family had split up, so the uncle, I didn't really know him that well. I hadn't spent a lot of time with him.
So you made a lot of money off that sale?
It was, yeah, big time. No, but it was nice for me because my parents went and they brought back the pamphlet, you know, at the funeral, you get the one with the hymns, and the photo of Uncle Noel, was one that I took at their wedding.
And then you were like wow, I'm going to have to send that to my attorney because that is like, yeah, copyright infringement.
I'm going to have to call for a cease and desist on these funeral pamphlets.
Not at all. I was quite happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jen and I had like a really horrible situation a few years ago where a couple we shot, the groom passed away. And it was maybe like a month or two after the wedding. And the photo that I took of him when he was getting ready is the photo that they used for like everything.
Wow.
It was one of those things where it was like a really good photo of him. And like, I was quite proud of like the photo when I saw it and how it came out and everything. But now like it's still in my Instagram feed somewhere. And like, if I ever see it, I get like this horrible feeling. Cause it's like, that's like one of the last photos of this person, you know, like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
When you hear stories like that, I do feel like it kind of makes you approach what we do a little differently. Because you're like, it kind of brings a whole different idea of the value of these images now will bring to that family's life. And so, I don't know, because I think a lot of people think, oh, wedding photography, I'm just going to get somebody with, you know, a camera. Like, how important is it to really have like good photos on your wedding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of families don't have photos taken very often. And so for us at a wedding, it is about the bride and groom, but it's also about everyone else. It's a good thing to remember. It's kind of sucks because just when you think, okay, I've done whatever, like, okay, we've just had all the bridal portraits, They've had their walk back into the reception. Everyone's having dinner and it's like, I'm thinking, I can have a break. And I'm thinking, well, I haven't got a single photo of auntie such and such or uncle, whatever. So your job really never finishes on a day because you can fill in all those gaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're saying is you don't eat on a wedding day?
Pretty much. I love that someone said once on a wedding day, like you have zero, like you take in zero calories from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. And then in 4 minutes, you take in a full day's worth of food.
That is very true.
And then you go back to work.
I will say, though, we get a little spoiled when my wife is breast pumping because she has to like definitely make sure she intakes a certain amount of calories to keep up her supply. So I get all the best snacks because I always forget to pack snacks and food and stuff. And she's got Lunchables. I don't know if they have those where you are, but it's like the prepackaged cracker cheese.
Yeah. So are you like me where if your wife's eating, you have to eat it? You have to be eating as well?
Absolutely.
But if you're eating, well, she doesn't necessarily have to
eat. Exactly. Well, except my wife is always eating. So
all right.
She has the metabolism of a young child. Whereas I was cursed with the metabolism of a person that's past dead.
Dustin, if you just started expressing milk as well, then your metabolism would go up.
I would love to express milk. Anything to get this metabolism going. It doesn't involve a gym.
Greg, do you want to answer some questions from just random people on the internet?
Oh, okay.
We'll just do like one or two of these.
By random, he means all questions from your guys' Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. No. They don't have a Facebook group, just a Facebook page.
Same difference.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that about you guys. You have a group, whereas we have a page.
Super secret group. Greg.
What does that mean?
Like Fight Club.
We chose to do a group as well as doing a page because we did something with the Wedding Photographers Unite podcast and they have a group. And it was like in their group, people were asking a lot of questions that people wouldn't ask on the page because the group is private. And so you can't see the stuff posted in the group unless you're in the group.
Fight Club.
So then people... Yeah, so people aren't as afraid to ask questions that might make their business look bad or something like that.
Yeah,
because they know the only other people seeing it will be other photographers. So that's like why the group was created, because it harbors a better sense of community, we feel like.
It's also a great place for people to come and like, you know, comfort me from all of the episodes where Steve berates me and tears me down. it's kind of a support group at times for me.
Build you back up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you get a nice like yo-yo effect. Yep. They build you up and then podcast back down.
Yeah, you need to start another group just called Team Dustin for all the Dustin fans out there.
I'm telling you, Dustin's Discussions.
Dustin's Discussions. Fireside chats with Dustin's Discussions.
All right, yeah, so hit me.
Let's do some Q&A.
But Steve...
Claire from the Facebook groups asks us, or just asks randomly, does anyone have any tips for setting up a vendor shoot? I'm new to the industry and looking for experience.
Vendor shoot.
Greg, that would be, I'm guessing Claire is referring to like a styled shoot, like a collab.
Yeah, styled shoot. Get good looking people.
Done.
Number one.
Easy. Get those kids from the street that you use for video.
Okay, first of all, go outside your local camera store. and then is it like a fight to the death as to who you choose?
Yeah.
The last one alive?
I think so.
Take them. Styled shoot. You know what? I've probably done two styled shoots in my whole career. Have you guys done a lot of them?
Yeah, I've done two, I think, as well. Maybe three.
Jen and I try to do like one a year.
That you organize?
I don't organize that. Jen organizes that.
Right. The royal you.
Yeah.
I did a little shoot a few weeks ago for a... it was not wedding related. It was for this clothing company. But you see, we've just come through winter. And if someone asks you to do something in winter in New Zealand, for me, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm free. I'll have a go. The thing that I didn't like was this lady organized it. And it was in the middle of the day. So you've got the... light strike coming down. You definitely want to just think about doing it in the evening. Anything like that. You want to do it in dusk, right? You want to be like an hour before sunset. That's kind of number one. Anytime you can get that low light. And then just vendor shoots, it depends who's organizing it. Are you going to be doing a cake? Are you going to be just doing clothing? I kind of don't really know how to approach that one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, from the couple that you have done, have there been any terrible experiences, or were all pleasant?
No, it was all good. Yeah, pretty mellow. Do you guys, like, if it was me, if someone's, do you get, like, I got paid, but would you normally get paid for a vendor shoot? Sometimes you don't, right?
Because yeah, if it's more of like a portfolio for advertising building kind of thing for all the vendors involved, a lot of times it's completely free.
And my one piece of advice would be, don't be precious about ownership of the images. Just mm-hmm. take the photos, edit them, and send them out there and just forget about them.
Yeah.
Just move on. And don't use them for your portfolio. Just, you want real weddings for your portfolio.
Yeah, I would say one word of advice on a serious note that I found from the styled shoot I did last year is, make sure the vendors you're selecting like each other. Yeah. There's a florist that we love working with here in town, but she's very opinionated about other vendors. And so we at the last like 11th hour type thing, we're like, oh, we should bring on a coordinator to kind of help us bring this whole thing full circle. And turned out the florist and the coordinator like hated each other. So it made it like real awkward the day of the shoot.
That sucks. Yeah, that sucks. So I guess, yeah, you just got to get everyone talking.
Yeah.
That's nice, though, if you can organize it as the photographer, then you've got that control.
I was trying to be that person, and then I realized I was getting a little out of my depth on, like, candlesticks and, like, sourcing different things.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, this coordinator/decorator person, you know, she might be a good asset to get some of those finishing touch things that'll make it look a little more polished.
Hmm.
And, the florist was like, well, I had all that stuff I could have brought, and I hate, you know, she's so unprofessional. I hate her. I was like, I already kind of told her she could be a part of this. I'm so sorry.
Now, see, when I hear Claire asking for tips for setting up a vendor shoot, I'm guessing what she's thinking is, how do I even, like, approach vendors? How do I even get them to agree to do the shoot, like a styled shoot with me? And I mean, for that, what I would say to Claire is, you want to do a lot of research on the vendors. You want to find out as much information as you can about them. And you probably hear this and you're thinking to yourself, yes, because then I can approach them in a way that will make them feel comfortable and respected and want to work with me. But I'm actually going the other route with this. I think then you can, like, find a way to kidnap their dog. So now you have their dog. And if they want the dog back, they have to do the shoot with you.
What if they don't have a dog, Steve?
A kid, a cat, a house plant, you know, whatever.
They're all on the same level.
Yeah, you just got to find whatever's precious to them. If you can get access to their bank account, just all the money out of
there. Perfect. I love where you're going with this.
Nice. So blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say blackmail? I don't think I said blackmail.
Yeah, great.
Who's that drunk woman behind you, Steve?
That's Jen. She's looking at me quizzically because she does not like this advice I just gave. Somebody's going to come and steal something from us now.
Well, you'll know what to do. Your job.
So if you come home and one of your children are gone, Steven, I had nothing to do with it. But just know, I expect you to do a style shoot with me.
I'm there for you, buddy. I'm 100% there. So one more question. User J Smith Photography and the R Wedding Photography, the subreddit Wedding Photography on Reddit says, as I increase my prices, I seem to be getting fewer and fewer winter weddings. Does anyone have any tips for booking winter dates?
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, okay. You probably adjust your pricing, right?
That's deep.
I mean, put your price down a little bit for winter. Is that too profound? Is that
just cutting, like a wedding
cutting
MBA
to the
class
to the core of the matter?
How to book off
just
season
right
weddings?
There. How to
lower
book
your prices?
Winter weddings 101. Lower your prices. Yeah, maybe he could get like some sweet. What are those awesome dogs? Like some wolves or something to come along with him, so that with the wedding photos you got those amazing fluffy dogs.
He looks like the guy from Game of Thrones when he shows up to winter weddings. Winter is coming, hire me.
Yeah, that's it.
Now I'm seeing a series of Facebook ads for the company that all say winter is coming and all feature Jon Snow. Yes. And you don't have to tell anybody that you don't actually know Kit Harington and you didn't shoot those. You just roll it out there.
There you go.
I would just Photoshop my face onto his face.
Copyright infringement.
Bada bing.
I don't think so.
Dumb.
Yeah. Find a good shirtless picture of Kit Harington and Photoshop your face right onto it.
Just with wolf skin.
So you've got the wolf skin and then you've also got living wolves around you. So you have a dead wolf and living wolves.
Well, you got all the wolves. Yeah.
And you got to have something to keep the living wolves in check. You got to let them know you're the boss. Like, if you get out of line at this wedding, look what happened to the last wolf that got out of line.
Or how about you take it a step further and it's like a sort of wolf skin. It's like bride's dresses. You're like, brides, if you get out of hand, doesn't work. we won't go there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've stolen the last five brides that I've worked with their dresses after the shoot. Do you want this to happen to you? Do my vendor shoot.
You're back to the blackmail-esque.
We're very threatening.
You and your threats.
Yeah, that's how we get elected. That's how we get hired. It's all we know.
Trump land. back to my MBA. one thing that helped me with winter shoots is I did a snow shoot and I got some really great shots and I put those on my website. I put them on my homepage because I figure, well, a good wedding shoot, good wedding photo is a good wedding photo. Mm. It just so happens this one's in winter. So people see it and they go, oh, this guy can take a good winter wedding photo. So he's like, we'll pay him lots of money, if you see what I mean. And this is the whole... okay, back to my MBA. This is point number three.
Is there a PowerPoint?
No, you should be taking notes, son. There'll be a test at the end of this. This is the age-old mantra of you want to... shit, how does it go? You want to show the work that you want to shoot.
Show what you want to shoot. Got it. All right.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of S's in there.
Got it.
A couple S's in there.
I'm just going to put New Zealand wedding photos on my website.
Sweet. I think we just solved.
S plus S equals show the work you want to shoot.
Well, but with the wolf skins.
To keep people in line and wolves in line.
North American wolf skins. Got it.
Can you bring me some? We don't have wolves. Can you bring... We'll talk. You got to hide them really well, though, because they don't let them in... In New Zealand, they won't go through customs, but I'll tell you.
Don't worry. Squirrel skins, very similar.
They just, no problem. Well, hang on, wait. This is a thing. I'll sell squirrel skins in New Zealand as wolf skins. We're going to make a lot of money.
Now you're talking my language.
I've got a guy.
Yeah, I got a guy who imports squirrel skins.
Do we answer that question?
Oh, this is a perfect answer.
Here in Indiana, it's like all my family does is hunt. So I've got a plethora of pelts, as we call them.
Oh yeah, pelts.
Hey,
skins is a little barbaric.
That is going to do it for us. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast, Greg, and Tom too when he was here. That was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed doing that.
Well, we're going to cut when we thanked him earlier.
Yeah, we're going to cut that back in. This is just for Greg's. For Greg himself.
Just
I want him to know we appreciate him. Is that okay with you?
Oh, thank you, guys.
Is that okay?
I feel appreciated.
Just making sure I'm on the same script that our scriptwriter wrote.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. Dustin and Steve, thanks so much. It was really nice. It was awesome. It was cool. Tom and I, we do our thing. We're kind of in our little bubble, and it was great to break out. And
welcome to the bigger bubble.
Yeah, we're all... our bubbles are connecting. Look at that. And
it's like a four-person bubble connection.
There you go.
So, Tom, you did say you had a hard stopping time of 2, which it is 2 your time now, I believe. One thing I wanted to do before the end of this, on your guys' last episode, you said on your next episode you're going to talk about a shot list one of you was given. And so before you left, I wanted to see if you could just give like a teaser to our fans about what it is you're going to be talking about with this shot list. Just something to make them want to run over to your podcast and listen to what you have to say.
Okay, yeah. So I shot a wedding 2 weeks ago, and I'd already done an engagement shoot with a couple very, very onto it couple, both, you know, very successful. The one guy works for Main Freight, which is a New Zealand freight company, but they actually have depots in Australia and in the States. Big, big, really, really cool company. Very much, what do you call that? An A-type personality, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people. Extremely nice. Anyway, 5 days before the wedding, I get an email saying, hey, Greg, we just put together a shoot list. And they said, you know, it's kind of for you, but it's kind of for us as well, just to keep track of what's happening during the day. All good. You know, check it out. So I open it and it's 4 pages of like a 4-page shoot list, right from boys getting ready all the way to, you know, dance floor shots. And so the first thing I do is send it to Tom and go, hey, Tom, you have to check this out.
I was like, what the hell is that?
So I actually, the videographer got the same shot list. And what we will probably end up talking about is the way I reacted to receiving that shot list. I sent them an email and I'm trying not to say too much now, right?
Okay, so we don't want you to say too much. So, Tom, can you just say how you think Greg would have reacted to that?
I think he did some typical New Zealand thing, like threw a pavlova at them or went over to their house and was like, oi,
a jandal.
I don't really like that shot list because it's a bit too long. He threw a jandal at them. Yeah.
Like, I only have one sheet of paper in my printer.
I have all these Yongnuo flash boxes that are empty and I'm going to throw them at your house.
Yeah. That's how it went down. That's okay. So that's one. That's one possibility.
He says as he holds a Yongnuo box menacingly.
If I had thrown them, I'd have less to throw right now.
They took it out on the rugby field.
Yeah, we did. That's how we just. That's how we sort all disputes in New Zealand. Who can do the best drop kick?
You're like, are we going to do that groomsman photo? Let's take this to the field.
Drop kick contest. And that's half an hour of the day gone.
Before you go, real quick, where can people go to find out more about you?
Well, what's our Snappening website?
It's thesnappening.net.
Can't they just go up to their Alexa and just start snapping, and it just takes it?
Yeah. It's a brand new website actually.
Oh, that's so sweet. And from there you can find my. I think. Wait, Greg, are our sites on there?
Yo.
Okay, from there you can find our sites as well. But
if not, by the time this goes live, you will be able to.
Yeah, right. As I frantically. you can see the snappening.net. We're on there.
Find Tom Facebook, and me. Instagram.
Yeah, there are links to our Facebook and our Instagram there as well.
There's a Pinterest. Your cookbook is on there. All that good stuff.
Got the Pinterest. Yeah.
We're super prepared.
Oh, there she comes.
All right.
Time to go. All right, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast with Dustin and Steve. If you want to help us out, jump on iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Wedding Photo Hangover or on Twitter at WedPickHangover. Dustin is on Instagram at Dustin_McKibben and Steven is at Steven Van Elk. If you want to get involved with the awesome community of listeners, join the Wedding Hangover Facebook group. If you really want to warm our hearts, head on over to anchor.fm/weddingphotohangover and you can sign up to support us for as little as 99 cents a month. It's extremely helpful to us and to the making of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time your head is pounding, your limbs feel like dead weight, and your entire being aches for the sweet embrace of death. That's right. Next Sunday, after you shoot another wedding.
Wearing wolf skin. Wolf coats covered in wolfness. Winter is coming, Steven. Kind of like ties into the whole Halloween-esqueness.
Except it'll be released after Halloween. Dustin, thank you so much for doing that interview with me with Greg
and Tom
tonight.
So we're in the future now.
Yes.
In the future.
We've transitioned. In 10 minutes, we will be in the same... We'll be in the present with Greg and Tom in 10 minutes.
Listeners, you have to wait 10 minutes and we'll be in the same time zone.
But I have to go now. So have a great night, Dustin. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
So we're just trying to be the Greg and Tom of America. That's you are our inspiration.
Thanks. Well, I think you're doing pretty well at that.
So we're going to sell some t-shirts that say the Greg and Tom of America. On the back, yes. It's going to say hashtag wedding photo hangover. So
nice.
Feel free to sell those for us.
Cool. We're honored to be chatting.
Yeah, we still feel like we're trying to be the Greg and Tom of New Zealand and Australia. Like
One last thing real quick before the end of the episode. Just want to give a big shout out to Greetable.com. That's Greetable.com for sponsoring this episode and making it possible for everybody to hear this. If you guys want to get a great deal, as we said before, use code HANGOVER20. That's HANGOVER20. And check down in the show notes. All the info will be there. Wedding Photo Hangover was edited this week by Steve Van Elk of Bespoke Tone. Go to Bespoke Tone for all of your photo, video, and audio editing needs.
Woo-wee!